This morning, we're going to spend some time in the book of John. And we could jump all over the place on this. We really, truly could. But I'm going to try to limit us and try to control myself and stay right in the book of John this morning. Because I think there's just so much in there referring to this topic. This morning, I want to look at the idea of friends. God just kind of reminded me of this a few weeks back, and I thought, you know, all right, for whatever reason, God, we'll look at that, okay? We'll look at that. So as I thought about that, and I thought about friends, you know, I looked up the word friend. Webster's has some interesting takes on the word friend, but a lot of it, you know, things that we're all very familiar with. For example, Webster says that they define friend as one attached to another by affection or esteem. You know, we use the word best friend. One attached to one another by affection or esteem. Webster also says that a friend is defined as one that is not hostile. Is he a friend or an enemy? Kind of heard it said, not your friend, not your enemy, then must be your friend. Someone that's not hostile. Also says that it's one that promotes or favors something. One that promotes or favors something. Living Hope is a friend of Beach Points. You support Beach Point, you know, an organization that you're affiliated with, that you support, you favor. You're a friend of that organization. In Greek, the word friend is philos. And philos is defined as this: someone dearly loved, prized, in a personal, intimate way, a trusted confidant, held dear in a close bond of personal affection. I think I like that one out of all the definitions. So in chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus talks about friends. See, the Bible talks about friends all over the place. Because friends are important. Or wouldn't be in the Bible, right? Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born in a time of adversity." Friends are important. They're needed. Jesus said in 15:15, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for the living word of God that transforms and renews, Father, that changes us from the inside out. So, Father, whatever it is that you find within us that needs to be transformed, needs to be renewed, needs to be changed this morning, would you do that? Would you loose your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds and bring whatever that individual, personal, intimate message is that you have for each of us. Bring it to us. Speak loudly. Speak clearly. Drown out anything that would be seeking to distract us from hearing your voice this morning. I pray these things in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. So Jesus said he doesn't call the disciples servants. He calls them friends because he knows their business. Now I realize, and you know, scholars and theologians have debated this, you know, well, he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the disciples. You know, there's a lot of pastors that stay away from some of the teaching of Jesus because they're like, he's talking to the disciples. But I ask you, I'm in a different camp on this. What made his disciples? They chose to follow him. They chose to follow him. And if you are choosing to follow him, you are his disciple. And this is for you and me. And Jesus calls you friend. Jesus calls me friend. And he calls us friend because he's shown us his business. Now, as I mentioned, we could be all over the place. What is Jesus' business? Well, Jesus was definitely an entrepreneur in the land of business because he was into all kinds of business, wasn't he? He was a winemaker, right? Jesus made wine, you know? He was long before the microbreweries came out, right? He's all about making wine, okay? He's a physician. He's all about healing, right? He's a chief physician. He's a doctor of doctors, isn't he? All kinds of business. But as I said, we're going to stay right here in just this little section in chapter 15. For example, at the beginning of 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my father is the gardener. Who are my green thumbs in the house? Who likes to plant flowers and garden? Got the home garden going in the summer. Anybody? Nobody? Right? Yeah. You're a great company. He's a gardener. Jesus is all about pruning and growing. He's a gardener. What business? The business of Jesus. We go down, he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, Jesus is all about productivity, isn't he? He's all about growth. Creating. That's what his business is. We go on. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Jesus is in the business of communication. Have you ever wondered about that? I mean, long before the age of cell phones and, you know, Skyping and whatever, you have it. Jesus was all about communication. All about communication. He's in the business of communication. He's in the business of communicating. Do you communicate well? Sometimes I know I don't communicate well. Communication. In 11, Jesus says, I have told you this so my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Jesus is in the business of joy. He's in the business of joy. And that's hard to grasp sometimes. It's very difficult to grasp sometimes. But he is. And not just any old joy, complete joy. And he is in the business of complete joy. And he wants us to know that. Why does he want us to know that? Because he calls us friend. He wants us to know that because he calls us friend. When I was in high school, I had a friend that was from the other side of the tracks. He was from the other side of the tracks. But we were good friends. And I mean, you know, let's be honest. He was kind of spoiled, okay? But one of the things his parents did that didn't lend to that area of being spoiled was with his first car. So we ended up getting our first cars at the same time. And I went out, I found this rusty old Oldsmobile, you know. But he had to find something, you know, that was more sporty and whatnot. So he found this beat-up old Camaro, okay? And his parents were great because they let us bring both the junkers over to their house, okay, take over their garage, all right, and become very familiar with Bondo and sheet metal. And I got pretty good, I got to admit, you know, I did. So we spent quite a bit of time, you know, getting these things looking decent and whatnot. But this Camaro was a dog. I mean, it was just such a dog. It had one of those 307s in it. I mean, and it was just, oh, I mean, you had to push it downhill. It was just such a dog. But he loved that car. He did. He loved that car. And, you know, so we've known each other for a long time. And about 10 years ago, I get this phone call out of Florida. And I take the call. Normally, you know, you look at these numbers, you don't take them, right? I took the call. And there's this gentleman on the other line, and he says, hey, do you know? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, I'm so-and-so, and I'm with this bank, and he's looking to get an emergency loan, and, you know, he put you down as someone to call for reference. And I said, okay, all right, well, is he there? Well, no, he's not, but his wife is there. His wife is here. So I said, well, can I speak to her? So Gloria gets on the phone and she starts telling me that Dave's out at, he's out at sea. He worked for freighters. He was a first mate officer with a company that, shipping company. So he's out at sea. And so she tells me he's out at sea and this is what happened. And so, you know, he for whatever reason, you know, they couldn't get the funds freed up to take care of the emergency situation they had and whatnot. And so told her to go in, get this loan, and she said, well, I can't. And he said, call Rick. Now, I don't know when the last time I spoke to him, you know, but we stay in touch, you know. He said, call me because I know his business. I know what he's about. I know how he lives. I know his character. I don't see him every day. But I know him, and I know his business, you know? That's the kind of friend that Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to know his business so that he can call on us anywhere, anytime, any place. To do whatever it is on his behalf that he needs us to do. Know his business. John says in 9:13, he references love over and over and over. And in 15:9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's own life for a friend. Jesus is in the business of sacrifice. And he calls us as his friends to sacrifice at times. Sacrifice our time, our gifts, he calls us as friends to be inconvenienced at times, to do whatever it is he calls on us to do. I mentioned in a prayer a family, a couple families that we're praying for about a week and a half ago. Well, no, 2 weeks today. I'm sorry. It was 2 weeks ago today. Is that right? 2 weeks ago today? Or a week ago today? It's only been a week. I'm looking to the kids because, you know, my memory. I'm like, they're not helping me at all here. What? They're looking at me like, I don't know, Dad. Good job. Good job. Isaac's in God's business right there. So that's a good excuse, right? Kids, you know, you want a good excuse with your folks? Say, oh, I'm busy. It's a good excuse. You know, 65-year-old Patty Chapman, she's a longtime volunteer in the schools in Otsego, kind of like one of the community grandmas and all this jazz. And she, God called her home unexpectedly Sunday night. Just time to go, 2 weeks ago. And and you know, after you know, that time of just embracing that and shedding those tears for the family, God said, you know, And I said, yeah, I know. Okay. Whatever you want, God. This is the way you want to use me, then okay. And Monday night, 24 hours later, his son-in-law called me and said, hey, Mark's here and he wants to stop by your house. I said, absolutely. Absolutely. Being a friend isn't always easy. And we know it wasn't easy for Christ. But he calls you and I friend. And I don't know about you, but I don't think it gets any better than that, to be the friend of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you. We do thank you for your living word, and we do thank you for your presence in this place, Father. Your spirit has made itself known to us, Father, and we're very thankful for that. So, Father, we just ask that you would continue to encourage us. Continue to speak into our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.